Kyle, this totally caught me by surprise, and I think Chris to a certain extent as well. I didn't even know this game was going on and certainly didn't know that there was a chance that the U.S. could miss. So, I mean, I don't think anybody here expects us to win the World Cup, but I think they expect us at least to participate. So what happened?
Well, I mean, there's a long laundry list of things that you could point to. It's not just one thing you can blame to say this isn't why the U.S. made the World Cup. There's a whole host of reasons that went wrong, or decisions that were made, hires that were made. You could create a 20 to 30 bullet point list of reasons why the U.S. didn't make the World Cup. It's just a collection of systematic failures. And it quite frankly is probably the darkest day in U.S. national team history, and the most embarrassing moment in U.S. soccer history, because the United States, given the population of the country, given the money spent on the program, I mean, just those two things, that's oversimplification, but just given those two things, there's no reason why the U.S. can't be top three in its region and qualify for the World Cup every 4 years. There is just no excuse for what happened. Now, it was a perfect storm of not just the United States losing or drawing games that it should have won, but also other results around the rest of CONCACAF. ESPN's Paul Carr, who does probabilities on, you know, hey, who will qualify, who won't, before last night's game gave the U.S. a 97% chance to qualify. They needed not only to lose, but they needed two other underdogs to win in order to be eliminated. Unfortunately, that doomsday scenario played out, and the United States was eliminated, but they only have themselves to blame.
Okay, so it seems like there's micro and there's macro reasons. Let's break this down. First, the micro. Like, what happened in that game alone, in the last couple of games, from a like effort or strategy standpoint or personnel, to not have you beat Trinidad and Tobago and Honduras?
Right. So what happened last night really was a combination of the U.S. So the U.S. won. They beat Panama just a few days ago, handily. And it was a very good performance. U.S. played at home. They were a positive from the start. Bruce Arena played a very attacking lineup, and the U.S. got 3 points that it desperately needed. That was a must-win game. And Bruce Arena has been known to rotate his squad heavily between two qualifiers in one window. So, you know, you play Panama on a Thursday or a Friday, win, and he would rotate the squad for a game on Tuesday on the road in Trinidad Tobago. He didn't do that. He played the same starting 11, and it was clear from the start that there were tired legs the entire way. Now, it's surprising that, you know, a group of 11 professional athletes could play 90 minutes on a Thursday and then on Tuesday be tired, but the way the travel works out, the effort these guys are putting in, that's just the way it is. Bruce did not rotate his squad the way that he's been known to do. So there were some tired legs on a field in Trinidad that was absolutely waterlogged from rain. I don't know if you saw social media, but the U.S. national team posted a bunch of stuff that they showed their players practicing in what essentially was a puddle or a lake just a day or two before the match. So there were some things, and the lack of squad rotation really hurt the United States. And he left out the two best defenders in the pool. He completely left Fabian Johnson off the list completely, who wasn't even in the squad. And then he benched Jeff Cameron, who starts for a Premier League team. He left him off the roster on the bench, starts Omar Gonzalez instead. Now, that defense didn't allow a goal against Panama at home, but then they go on the road and concede two hideous goals against the worst team in left in the hex. So just some terrible decision-making by Bruce Arena.
Kyle Bond joining us. He covers soccer for NBCSports.com. U.S. not making the World Cup that will be held over in Russia. So what does that do in this country? Fox paid a lot of money to carry the World Cup. Does the interest diminish with the United States not participating?
No question. I mean, this is brutal for U.S. soccer and the growth of soccer in this country, because it had been on an upward trajectory at an exponential level. So not U.S. soccer wasn't just growing at a steady rate. It was growing at an exponential curve. This sets soccer back in the U.S. at least a decade, because there's now a generational gap of, you look at baseball. So obviously the New York Yankees, I'm going to use them as an example because it hits home for me being from New York. The Yankees have won one World Series in the last 17 years or whatever the span is. It's now some franchises would, scoff at that and say, what a spoiled fan base. But if you look at what the Yankee Stadium has looked like the last three playoff games this year, there is a jolt of energy at Yankee Stadium we haven't seen for a decade. And the reason is because there's a new generation of Yankee fans who haven't seen this young, successful team ever, because they're teenagers. There are teenagers who haven't experienced the success that the Yankees saw in the late 90s and early 2000s. It's a new generation of growth. You don't get that now with the U.S. national team. Every generation needs something to be excited about. And this eight-year gap leaves the generation of kids and young people and casual fans in the United States who maybe only watch the World Cup, and that might be what gets them into soccer. So many soccer fans say, yeah, I started watching in the World Cup. I fell in love with it. You have an eight-year gap now, at least. Now they have to do this all over again, and there's no guarantee they make it again. You have an eight-year gap, at least, of a generation that's lost, and that's sad. And we've already been a large reason the U.S. has struggled recently is because there's a generation of talent that has been lost. And losing that young fan base can hurt that talent level directly as well.
Kyle Bond, NBC Sports Soccer, joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. So let's go more macro now. What needs to change? How do you flip things up? Overreactions were aplenty yesterday.
Yeah, everything needs to change. They weren't overreactions. Often you get that, oh my goodness, this team lost a three-game playoff series in baseball after a successful 162 games. Let's fire the manager. No, that's an overreaction. This is not an overreaction. There is zero silver lining to the U.S. national team missing the World Cup and a 4 to 8 year systematic collapse. And you've got to clean house. You have to. The clear answer, as Bruce Arena goes, and he was going to go anyways. He was only hired for this to finish this World Cup cycle. He was never intending to stay on. Best case scenario, what if the U.S. suddenly won the World Cup? He wasn't going to stay. It wasn't going to happen. He was a stopgap answer once Jurgen Klinsmann was fired. Now you get rid of Arena. You've got to find a new manager. You've got to find someone who can clean house from top to bottom at the youth systems and the youth levels as well, because the U.S. has missed two Olympics at the youth level, and that's a failure in and of itself. We talk about the lost generation of talent at the youth level. There you are. You've missed two Olympics in a row. Sunil Gulati has got to go as head of U.S. soccer. He's Sunil Gulati has a position a lot like Roger Goodell at the NFL. Roger Goodell isn't in charge of the product on the field. He's in charge of making the NFL money. That's his number one goal. That's Sunil Gulati's number one goal, too. He's a businessman. He is in charge of making the U.S. Federation money. The U.S. Federation is going to lose tens of millions of dollars because they didn't make the World Cup. They're going to lose sponsorships. They're going to lose leverage with future sponsorships. They're going to lose TV money. There's a host of lost revenue for missing the World Cup. That's on Sunil Gulati. He's got to go. Those are the two obvious answers. Now, you can look at the youth levels as well and make changes there, but those are the two obvious levels, and then things will fall into place.
Kyle, thanks so much for your time clarifying what's happening. And as you say, bad day for soccer, and we'll see if they can rebound in 4 years.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's unfortunate, but it's not the end of U.S. soccer by any means. It is, unfortunately, a lost 4 to 8 years that you will never get back.